ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्राय स्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6। अहम् त्वकामस्त्वद्भक्तस् त्वं च स्वामी अनपाश्रयः नान्यथेहावयोरर्थो राजसेवकयोरिव। अहम् त्वकामस्तत्त्वद्भक्तः त्वं च स्वामी अनपाश्रयः नान्येथ हावयोरर्थो राजसेवकयोरिव। अहम् त्वकामस्त्वद्भक्तः त्वं च स्वामी अनपाश्रयः नान्येथ हावयोरर्थो राजसेवकयोरिव। अहम् एज़ फार एज़ आई एम कंसर्न्ड टू इंडीड अकामः विदाउट मटेरियल डिजायर त्वद्भक्तः फुल्ली अटैच टू यू विदाउट मोटिवेशन त्वं च योर लॉर्डशिप ऑल्सो स्वामी द रियल मास्टर अनपाश्रयः विदाउट मोटिवेशन। यू डू नॉट बिकम द मास्टर विथ मोटिवेशन न नॉट अन्यथा विदाउट बीइंग इन सच अ रिलेशनशिप एज मास्टर एंड सर्वेंट इह हियर आवयोः आवर अर्थः एनी मोटिवेशन। द लॉर्ड इज द प्योर मास्टर एंड प्रहलाद महाराज इज अ प्योर डिवोटी विथ नो मटेरियलिस्टिक मोटिवेशन। राज ऑफ ए किंग सेवकयोः एंड दिस सर्विटर इव लाइक जस्ट एज अ किंग एग्जैक्ट्स टैक्सेस फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ द सर्वेंट और द सिटीजन्स पे टैक्सेस फॉर द बेनिफिट ऑफ द किंग। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओ माय लॉर्ड आई एम योर अनमोटिवेटेड सर्वेंट एंड यू आर माय इटर्नल मास्टर। देयर इज नो नीड ऑफ आवर बीइंग एनीथिंग अदर देन मास्टर एंड सर्वेंट। यू आर नेचुरली माय मास्टर एंड आई एम नेचुरली योर सर्वेंट। वी हैव नो अदर रिलेशनशिप। काइंडली रिपीट। ओ माय लॉर्ड आई एम योर अनमोटिवेटेड सर्वेंट and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, जीवर स्वरूप हय कृष्णर नित्य दास। Every living being is eternally a servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. I am the proprietor of all planets and I am the supreme enjoyer. This is the natural position of the Lord, and the natural position of the living being is to surrender unto Him. Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. If this relationship continues, then real happiness exists eternally between the master and servant. Unfortunately, when this eternal relationship is disturbed, the living entity wants to become separately happy and thinks that the master is his order supplier. In this way, there cannot be happiness, nor should the master cater to the desires of the servant. If he does, he is not the real master. The real master commands, you must do it, and the real servant immediately obeys the order. Unless this relationship between the Supreme Lord and the subordinate living entity is established, there can be no real happiness. The living entity is Ashraya, always subordinate, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vishaya, the supreme objective, the goal of life. Unfortunate persons trapped in this material world do not know this. Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Illusion by the material energy, everyone in this material world is unaware that the only aim of life is to approach Lord Vishnu. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarshanam. In the Padma Puran, Lord Shiva explains to his wife Parvati, the goddess Durga, that the highest goal of life is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, who can be satisfied only when his servant is satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore teaches, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayur Das Dasa Anudas. One must become a servant of the servant. Prahlad Maharaj also prayed to Lord Narasingadev that he might be engaged as a servant of the Lord's servant. This is the prescribed method of devotional service. As soon as a devotee wants the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. In Bhagavad Gita 4.11, the Lord says, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Materialistic persons are generally inclined to material profits. As long as one continues in such an adulterated position, he does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatarubhasya Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो मेनी सीनियर डिवोटीज आर हियर, प्लीज ब्लेस मी, आई कैन सर्व. सो दिस ब्यूटिफुल सेक्शन ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम हैज बीन गोइंग ऑन फॉर मेनी मंथ्स नाउ. वी आर कमिंग टू द एंड ऑफ दिस सेक्शन, 10th चैप्टर. सो इन टुडेज वर्स, so this is the second part of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Like the first part, he offered beautiful prayers, and then Narasingh Dev was very pleased, and he told that please ask for a benediction. So in the second part here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, oh my lord, I do not want any benediction from you, right? So this is a short series of prayers, maybe 5-6 verses, where Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I do not want any benediction from you. In fact, the just 2 verses before, that is the 4th verse, is a very famous verse where Prahlad Maharaj is saying that one who asks some material benefit from you in exchange of devotional service is like a mercantile person, like a merchant, right? Like a businessman. That you do a business deal, that you give, you invest some money and then you want something in return. So it's like that. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that one who wants some material benediction in exchange for service is like a businessman. So Prabhupada often quoted this, that Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I'm not a baniya, you know, in Hindi say baniya. Some Sanskrit the words come vanik. Vanik means one who does business. So Prahlad Maharaj says that I'm not a businessman. Those who ask something in return for you, they are doing business with you. And well, many majority of the people who actually approach God approach him for some material benefit, which is good, which is at least better than the atheist, right? In Bhagavad Gita we hear artha arthate jigyasu gyani. So these 4 kinds of people, they approach Krishna. So it's not bad, but still it's not the best, right? Better than that is approaching the Lord with the mood of being a servant, not seeking any material desires from the Lord. Because that is being very unintelligent. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said that one who approaches the Lord for Vishaya, he is very murkha, he is very fool. He is a very foolish person. Ami bhaji Vishaya mage bada murkha. There is a shloka like that. Let swapada mula diya Vishaya bhulai. But Krishna says that he may be a fool, he may be coming to me with material desire, but if we have little sincerity, then Krishna will make sure that he removes the material desire from our heart. Right? He gives us the nectar of his lotus feet, by which we can, the material desire from the heart will go away. So, a lot can be spoken on this topic about being eternal servant of Krishna, Jivara Swarup Hoye, Krishna Ranitya Das. So, Prabhupada is saying that, explaining this purport, that this is a natural position, right? In fact, trying to be a master is artificial for the living entity. Because the living entity, by constitutional position, is a servant, ashraya. He is always subordinate to the Lord. And Lord is Vishaya, the supreme objective of life. So this is the natural position, and a jiva is very happy in this natural condition. But unfortunately, Prabhupada is saying that persons trapped in this material world do not know this. So the conditioned living souls like us, we do not know the secret of real satisfaction and happiness, which is to be situated in this position of servitude. And then Prabhupada further explains, it's not only being servant of Krishna, but better than that is to become servant of Krishna. He quotes this verse, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratram Devi Tadiyanam Samarshanam. That Lord Shiva is explaining to Mother Parvati that from all kinds of worship, the best is Vishnu worship. Vishnur Aradhanam Param. But there is something better than that. What is that? Tadiyanam Samarshanam. That means to worship those who are connected to Krishna, or that is to worship devotees. And Mahaprabhu also teaches us the famous shloka, Gopi Bhartur Kapadakamalayo Das Das Anudas. Naham Vipro Nachanarpati Napi Vesho Nasudro नाहं वह्नी न च गृहपति न वनस्थो यतिर्वा किन्तु प्रोद्यन निखिल परमानंद पूर्णामृताब्धेर गोपी भर्तुर पदकमलयो दास दासानुदास। सो दिस इज अ वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट वर्स। ऑफ कोर्स इट्स वेरी डिफिकल्ट टू रियलाइज एंड इंप्लीमेंट दिस, बट एटलीस्ट वी शुड टाइम एंड अगेन रीड अबाउट इट। लाइक महाप्रभु, यू कैन से इज एसेंस ऑफ टीचिंग्स ऑफ महाप्रभु। इन फैक्ट व्हेन महाप्रभु ऑफर्ड हिज प्रेयर्स ड्यूरिंग रथयात्रा, राइट, ड्यूरिंग रथयात्रा फेस्टिवल, वी ऑल नो दिस पास्ट टाइम। जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय, श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय, श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। सो दिस फेमस पास्ट टाइम एट जगन्नाथपुरी व्हेन महाप्रभु ऑफर्ड ब्यूटिफुल प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड जगन्नाथ, व्हेन ही रिवील्ड हिज इनर मोस्ट मूड, राइट, ऑफ प्रेइंग टू कृष्ण इन द मूड ऑफ राधारानी, रिक्वेस्टिंग हिम टू कम बैक टू वृंदावन। सो इन दैट दोज प्रेयर्स आर वेरी एसोटेरिक, इफ यू सी वेरी डीप, महाप्रभु इज प्रेइंग टू कृष्ण इन द मूड ऑफ राधारानी दैट अन्यर हृदय मन मोर मन वृंदावन, दैट प्लीज कम बैक टू वृंदावन। बट यू सी द बिगिनिंग ऑफ दोज प्रेयर स्टार्ट विद दिस एक्चुअली, द फर्स्ट वर्ड दैट महाप्रभु स्पीक्स इज दिस वर्ड, नाहम विप्र न चरपति नापी वैश्यो न शूद्र, एंड देन ही गोज फर्दर एंड फर्दर। सो दिस यू कैन सी द वेरी फाउंडेशन ऑफ आर कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस, दैट वी आर सर्वेंट ऑफ कृष्ण, वेल नॉट डायरेक्ट सर्वेंट ऑफ कृष्ण बट servant of the servant of servant of Krishna. We can go on adding, the more we add the better, right? So that should be the mood. Gopi bhartur pad kamleo das 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 anudas. So we can keep on adding. There is similar another verse by Yamunacharya also, where he says similarly, servant servant servant, many times he quotes the word. So this is something very important for us to hear repeatedly and contemplate. And then Prabhupada ends the purport by saying that as soon as a devotee wants Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his order supplier, the Lord immediately refuses to become the master of such a motivated devotee. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tan sathaiva bhajamya. That if someone approaches Krishna for material desire, so Krishna is not bound, right? He is not our order supplier. So he refuses to be master. He may sometimes fulfill material desires, but that's it. Right? So therefore, as long as one continues in such an adulterated position, Prabhupada says, that means if he continues serving Krishna with material desires, then Prabhupada is saying very strong statement here. He does not receive the benefit of returning home back to Godhead. That means we'll continue to be in this material world. We might be opulent, we might get opulent position, we might get to go to heavenly planets, but we'll not get the real desired result, which is going back to Godhead or having eternal association of Krishna. That will not get. We'll simply continue to be like a pious living entity, having good material opulences, enjoying in this world. So that is why I don't know the exact authenticity, but many times we hear from devotees that Prabhupada once made the statement that many of his disciples will, or many of the devotees in ISKCON will go up to heavenly planets. Right? So this is what we can see from here, that Prabhupada is saying that as long as we have inclination for material profit, we may be performing bhakti, but we will continue to be in this material world for a long, long time. So we have to be very, very careful that we may have material desires, but at least we don't pray to Krishna for material desires. This is a very, very important lesson here. So there's a difference, right? This point clear to all of you. We may have material desires, but we should not pray to Krishna to fulfill those material desires. Rather, we should pray opposite, right? Just like Prahlad Maharaj, into next verse he'll say that, O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Such a beautiful prayer. So this is what we should learn, that yes, we may have material desires, but we should pray to the Lord that please remove the material desires from my heart. So this is what Mahaprabhu is teaching us, that how we should pray. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadishe kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahit ketvai. Yes, there may be in my conditioned state I may have attraction for wealth, women, but at least I should pray to Krishna, O Krishna, I don't want this. Really speaking from my inner core of my heart, I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want women. At least we should pray like that. Please remove those desires from my heart. So that pleases Krishna. Then Krishna will be very kind upon us and he'll remove those desires from our heart. right? So this is what in today's purport we read. And since we are coming to end of this Prahlad Maharaj and Narasingh's pastimes, I'll just share little thoughts on these Prahlad Maharaj and Narasingh's pastimes. So actually, I was just this point that how we can pray to the Lord to remove material desires. So actually, Narasingh Dev has a very important role to play in the lives of our devotees. So of course, we all know that he is protector of our devotional service. Whenever devotees are in danger, they approach Narasingh Dev, and also we can pray to Narasingh Dev to remove the anarthas from within our heart. Just like I said that we may have desires, but we can pray to Krishna. Pray to Narasingh Dev, please remove these desires from my heart. They are like great demons. Just like you killed Hiranyakashipu, please kill the great demons of Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Lust, Greed, Anger, etc. Because they are great demons. It's not possible for us to kill them. It's very difficult. At least for me. So we can pray like that, in that mood to Narasingh Dev, to vanquish all the anarthas from our heart, to purify our heart. I once remember about a year back, His Holiness Indrumna Maharaj had given a class here. And this Narasingh Dev Leela had started. So I still remember he said that Narasingh Dev is like fire, and fire has two properties. Fire destroys, and also fire purifies. Just like if you want to purify gold, how do you purify gold? We put it in fire. So similarly, this point really stuck my heart, that Narasingh Dev, we should pray in two moods, right? One is to protect us, and also to purify our hearts. Right? So this fearsome form of Narasingh Dev, if you take shelter of him, he will also purify our hearts of all anarthas. I think in 5th canto, there's a verse that where we have prayers by different, in different planets. So in that, there's a prayer to Lord Narasingh Dev where, I think it's Prahlad Maharaj, if I'm not wrong, I could not check that. Praying to the Lord, to Lord Narasingh Dev to remove the anarthas from within the heart. So this is what two important reasons why we can take shelter of Lord Narasingh Dev. We should take shelter of Narasingh Dev. And very interesting, I was just doing a little search that when first time Srila Prabhupada gave this Narasingh Pranam, we all sing Narasingh Pranam every day, at least once in a day or twice in a day, right? Beautiful prayers. So how does this prayer started? You know? So in 1967, when Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco and he got very ill, he got again a stroke in the heart. He was almost paralyzed. So that time Srila Prabhupada, he wrote this Narasingh Dev Pranam to Brahmanand Prabhu and to the devotees who were with him, close devotees that time. And he told that you can pray to Lord Narasingh Dev that my master has not finished his duty yet. So this is the first time in the history of ISKCON that Srila Prabhupada gave this Narasingh Pranam in 1967. And he asked devotees to keep the picture of Lord Narasingh Dev in front of him. So Prabhupada established this tradition that whenever we have some dangerous position in terms of health or other difficulties, we can take shelter of Lord Narasingh Dev. And then we all know that after that Prabhupada came to India, and then eventually he was cured and he went back. So this is the start of Narasingh Pranam in our movement. And since then, every day devotees have been chanting, praying to Lord Narasingh Dev for protection from various obstacles, difficulties. And but in the scriptures, where do we find this Narasingh Pranam? This Namaste Narasinghaya is actually Narasingha Puran, and it is chanted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So when Mahaprabhu, when he was going to take darshan of Jagannath every day at Jagannath Puri, so when he climbed the steps of the Jagannath temple, there's a small Narasingh Dev temple there also. So Mahaprabhu first used to offer obeisance to Lord Narasingh Dev. In Antyalila 1650, this has been described, that how Mahaprabhu, as soon as he would climb up the stairs to go to Jagannath, have darshan of Lord Jagannath, he first offered obeisance to Lord Narasingh Dev, and then he chanted, Namaste Narasimhaya Praladaladada. You can chant together, please. Praladaladadaine Hiranyakashipurvakshaha Shilatanka Nakhalai Ito Narasingha Parato Narasingha Yato Yato Yami Tato Narasingha Bahi Narasingha Ridaye Narasingha Narasingha Madim Sharanam Prapade. Only these two verses. So the last one that we chant, that is from Dashavatar Sutram, but Mahaprabhu chanted these two verses, which are found in Narasingha Puran. राइट. सो दिस इज इन चैतन्य चरितामृत अंतलीला चैप्टर 16. सो यू कैन सी महाप्रभु हिज टीचिंग फ्रॉम हिज ओन पर्सनल एग्जाम्पल दैट वॉट प्रेयर्स वी शुड चैंट फॉर नरसिंह देव एंड हाउ वी शुड टेक हिज शेल्टर. सिमिलरली व्हेन महाप्रभु वॉज इन द टूर ऑफ साउथ इंडिया ही वेंट टू वेरियस नरसिंह देव टेम्पल्स. द मोस्ट फेमस टेम्पल इज टेम्पल ऑफ सिंहाचलम विच इज कॉल्ड जियड नरसिंह देव इन विशाखापट्टनम. हाउ मेनी डिवोटीज हैड दर्शन? हैड सम ऑफ यू? ओके, सम ऑफ यू हैड दर्शन. ओके, इवन आई हैड द फॉर्चून ऑफ हैविंग दर्शन ऑफ सिंहाचलम. नॉट एक्चुअली नरसिंह देव ब्यूटी इज कवर्ड इन सैंडलवुड. इट्स अ वेरी फियरसम फॉर्म. सो थ्रू आउट द ईयर द लॉर्ड इज कवर्ड विथ सैंडलवुड पेस्ट एंड ओनली ऑन द डे ऑफ अक्षय तृतीया वी गेट दर्शन ऑफ द लॉर्ड. इट्स अ कॉम्बिनेशन ऑफ वराहदेव एंड नरसिंह देव. So Mahaprabhu went to have darshan of Jada Narsingh Dev. In fact, even Srila Prabhupada went with his disciples in, I think, 74 or 75. He also had darshan of, in the 70s, he had darshan of Narsingh Dev there. So when Mahaprabhu went there, that time he chanted in Chaitanya Charitamrita a different set of prayers, which we also chant sometimes. Shri Narsingha, Jai Narsingha, Jai Jai Narsingha Dev, Praladesa, Jaya Padma, Mukha Padma, Bhringa. Another beautiful prayer which Mahaprabhu chanted that time. And then another very interesting prayer that Mahaprabhu chanted while taking darshan of Narsingh Dev, that is, Ugropi anugrahe vayam svabhaktanam nrikeshari keshareva svapotanam anyesham ugra vikramah. Again, it's a very important verse. So this verse says that a lioness may be very fearsome, but for her own cubs, she is very gentle, right? A cub is never afraid of his father lion or mother lioness, right? Because the cub sees the loving affection of his parents. But for other animals, a lion is very fearsome. But for its own cub, the lion is never fearsome, right? So similarly, for devotees, Lord Narsingh's form is never fearful. I mean, the devotees are never afraid of the form of Lord Narsingh. But outsiders, I mean, first time you show somebody picture of Narsingh Dev, for sure he'll be frightened, you know. Especially the painting in ISKCON, which was made in the earlier days by Jadruni Mataji, the famous painting with Narsingh Dev garlanded with intestines and so fearsome. So that's very, very fearsome. I'm sure that any new person will be afraid by having a look at, having darshan of that form of Narsingh Dev. But devotees, they are never afraid, right? They feel very happy. They feel very protected, very sheltered when they have darshan of Lord Narsingh Dev. So this is a very important verse about this example of lion and cub. So, and we see in Mahaprabhu's pastimes many, many times, you know, the role of Narsingh Dev, how devotees take shelter of Narsingh Dev. Which important pastime comes to our mind? The most famous one? Chand Kazi pastime, right? You know that pastime, that how when Chand Kazi was a magistrate there and he ordered to break the Mridanga, because even the so-called Hindus, they complained against Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan mission. So after that, Mahaprabhu took a grand procession. Prabhupada calls it the first civil disobedience movement. Usually in history we read that Mahatma Gandhi started civil disobedience movement, but Prabhupada says no, much before that Mahaprabhu himself started the civil disobedience movement. So that time Mahaprabhu took millions of devotees. I mean, now countless, it says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that millions of devotees in the evening, they carried torches in their hand, and all the demigods, they joined the Kirtan party. It was a huge Sankirtan party. And for the first time, Gaur Nitai, they danced in the public. Because before that, they were always inside the closed doors of Shiva Sangat. But on this day, Mahaprabhu, very mercifully, Shishi Gaur Nitai, they together danced the most beautiful forms before the entire, you know, all the residents of Nadia. So then in the beautiful procession, in the Sankirtan procession, Mahaprabhu went to the house of Chand Kazi. And Chand Kazi was very afraid because he saw millions of people coming, were outside his house. And some of them, they were chanting, burn the Kazi, burn the house. So Chand Kazi was very afraid. But anyway, Mahaprabhu then had a personal talk with him. Because Chand Kazi said that, I am your uncle, you know, kind of. They had that relationship was. Mahaprabhu's maternal grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti, happened to be like kind of uncle of Chand Kazi in terms of village relationship. So So they said, okay, let's talk in a more intimate way. So Mahaprabhu and his few followers, they spoke privately with Chand Kazi. And they had many discussions. One very important discussion is that Mahaprabhu challenged Chand Kazi and said, what kind of religion do you follow? You kill your own mother and father? You are killing cow? You drink milk from the cow and you are killing the cow? You are killing your father, bull? So Mahaprabhu convinced Chand Kazi. And Chand Kazi gave some arguments that, no, your Vedas also talk about animal killing. But Mahaprabhu refuted the arguments and he convinced that Chand Kazi that this is wrong. And then Mahaprabhu asked, that what happened? You just broke the Midanga, then after that you didn't do any other disturbance. And then Chand Kazi told the secret, that please come, I want to tell a secret to you. Mahaprabhu said, no problem, these are my close associates, you can tell now also in front of them. So then Chand Kazi told that in the night a very fearsome personality, half lion, half man, he jumped on my chest and he was ready to tear apart my heart. And he told that, how dare you? You interfered, you tried to stop the Sankirtan movement. This time I am leaving you and sparing your life. But next time you do any other mischief, I will kill you instantly. And then Chand Kazi showed the marks of Narsingdev on his chest, the nail marks of Narsingdev. And then Mahaprabhu was, of course, he was very happy. And then Chand Kazi became a great devotee. Now also we have the Samadhi of Chand Kazi. Some of you, those who visited Mayapur Dham, I'm sure you must have gone there, the Samadhi of Chand Kazi. So again, this is a very famous pastime where we see that how Lord Narsingdev is the protector of our Sankirtan movement, right from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many other times in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu also, we see devotees taking shelter of Narsingdev when they are in any danger. One Srivas Pandit also, when he heard some rumor that Muslim soldiers are coming to attack him, immediately he started offering worship to Lord Narsingdev. So this is in Mahaprabhu's pastime, we see many places like that. Even in Jagannath Puri, you know, Narsingdev has a very important role. That when Indradyumna Maharaj came to Puri to establish the temple of Lord Jagannath, so there first he worshipped Lord Narsingdev. Even now that very ancient temple of Narsingdev is there near Gundisha temple. So first he established Lord Narsingdev. And in the worship of Jagannath also, the pandas, the pujaris, they chant many times the prayers of Lord Narsingdev. So inside the temple of Lord Jagannath, you will find many temples of Lord Narsingdev. At least 3-4 temples of Narsingdev are there in that compound. So you can see that in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, in Jagannath Puri, so Mahaprabhu plays has a very significant role. And even in our movement of ISKCON, as I said, Prabhupada started this Narsing Pranam from 1967. And many times devotees, they have this realization that how Narsingdev has protected them from various difficulties. And the famous history of Mayapur temple, right? In the 80s, there were many instances of big gang of dacoits attacking Mayapur Dham. The devotees were always, you know, they were harassed by the dacoits. They always tried to protect the deities. One sannyasi, his own list, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, right? He lost his leg also, trying to protect the deities of Radha Madhav. So then in 1985, I think it was Bhavanand Prabhu or some devotee in Mayapur who got this inspiration that let's install Lord Narsingdev. Because in Yogapit also, if you see, there is a temple of Narsingdev behind Yogapit. Because there also, once there was disturbance in Yogapit, so that time Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had ordered to install the Narsingdev deities. And after the installation of Narsingdev deities, the problems, they stopped, you know. There were no more problems there. So similarly, the devotees in Mayapur, they thought that let's install Narsingdev. And it's a long story, the story of how Narsingdev appeared there. It was very difficult. They went to South India. Now, who will carve Lord Narsingdev deities? No ordinary sculpture can do it. So that devotee went to South India, look for the famous sculptures. Then finally he found someone, but he was hesitant to carve the deity of Narsingdev because they wanted this Ugra Narsingha. So he said, it's very, very dangerous to worship Lord Narsingdev in this form. If you commit any offenses, you know, the opposite result may come. Narsingdev may... So he was hesitant, but after a lot of persuasion, finally agreed. He carved Lord Narsingdev. Then somehow the Narsingdev deities were brought to Mayapur. And then there was a grand installation ceremony in 1986. And since then, there have been no other problems in Mayapur. And Panchangangi Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu, they have written many pastimes, and they speak about various intimate pastimes of Lord Narsingdev with devotees. How devotees came with him, to him with many problems, and how Narsingdev blessed them. So that means that although Narsingdev looks like very fearful form, but actually he is very, very loving for his devotees. Right? Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was licking his body. He was so loving to Prahlad Maharaj. So similarly for devotees, Narsingdev is very, very affectionate, very loving. Right? He may be very fearful to the outsiders, to the atheist, but just like a lion is very loving towards his cubs, so similarly Narsingdev is very loving and kind for his devotees. So in this way, you can see that how Narsingdev has a very important role, and we should take shelter of Lord Narsingdev. And talking about, there's another thing which is also very interesting about Prahlad Maharaj's position. Right? He is actually is a very, very special devotee. Right? In fact, here Narsingdev, just before this, he says that you are the best devotee. So imagine there are so many devotees of the Lord, but the Lord himself is telling Prahlad Maharaj that you are my best devotee. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrit, I have not read it fully, but I was just reading little parts of it. So in Brihad Bhagavatamrit, Sanatan Goswami, you know, he has done wonderful analysis of devotees and this whole story that how Narad Muni, he tries to find out who is the best devotee. So he begins with a Brahmana in Prayag. Then that Brahmana says, no, I am not a devotee at all. Look at the king in South India. He is a better devotee than me. Then Narad Muni goes to him. And then he says, what kind of devotee I am? You know, I do worship to the Lord, but Lord doesn't appear. You go to Indra. When Indra does sacrifice, then the Lord himself appears. So he is much better than me. So then Narad Muni goes to Indra. And then Indra says, what kind of devotee I am? You know, I have committed so many offenses. I am not a devotee at all. You go to Brahmaji. And then Narad Muni goes to Lord Brahma. Then Brahmaji says that I am not a devotee at all. You know, what have I done? I stole all the cowherd boys and the calves. And I am so, so Brahmaji also says I am not a devotee. You can see that how the mood of a devotee is, you know. He never accepts that he is a devotee. Right? He always thinks that others are better than me. And then Brahmaji sends Narad Muni to Lord Shiva. He says, please go to him. He is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the best devotee. Right? Lord is so dear to him and he is so dear to the Lord. So then, finally, Narad Muni goes to Lord Shiva. But then, when he started glorifying Lord Shiva immediately closed his ears. He said, Narad Muni, what are you speaking? I am not a devotee at all. I have also committed so many offenses. I have sometimes fought with the Lord, taking side of my devotees. Right? Sometimes I pass times and Lord Shiva is fighting with the Lord. So Lord Shiva says, I am not a devotee at all. And then Lord Shiva says, look at the devotees of Vaikuntha. They are so fortunate. They are always associating with the Lord. They are serving the Lord. And among all the residents of Vaikuntha, Lakshmi Devi, she is so dear to the Lord. But then Lord Shiva says, wait a minute. Because Narad Muni was about to go to Vaikuntha. Then Lord Shiva says, no, wait 1 minute. Actually, I'll tell you a secret. That there is a devotee who is even greater than Lakshmi Devi. And who is that? Prahlad Maharaj. Very, very interesting point that Lord Shiva is saying that Prahlad Maharaj is even greater than Lakshmi Devi, resident of, the eternal consort of the Lord. So this is something very interesting. And what's the reason for that? In that, in the purport of Brihad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that the reason is that, of course, we cannot compare in one sense because the eternal associates of the Lord are, of course, special. But Lord is very pleased by Prahlad Maharaj, or his Prahlad Maharaj is considered to be even greater than Lakshmi Devi, because Lakshmi Devi is eternal associate of the Lord. She didn't undergo any difficulties to get Lord. Right? But Prahlad Maharaj went through so many tribulations to achieve the favor of the Lord. So that is what makes him so special. That just to please the Lord, he underwent so much difficulty. So many tribulations we have seen. Right? At how his father tortured him. But still Prahlad Maharaj always remember the Lord. He always served the Lord. So this is what made Prahlad Maharaj's position so special. That's why Narsingdev said that you are the best devotee. Right? That in the past or in the future, there can no devotee greater than you. So this is something very, very inspiring to know that Prahlad Maharaj is so special. And Lord Shiva also says, not only that, Lord Shiva, when he was speaking to Prahlad Muni, says that because Prahlad Maharaj is so dear to the Lord, Lord has given a promise that he will never kill any descendants of Prahlad Maharaj. He will always protect the descendants of Prahlad Maharaj. So therefore, Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad. So that's why the Lord showed him so much favor. Although Bali Maharaj could not fulfill his promise of 3 steps of land, but still Lord agreed to be his doorkeeper. You know, in Sutal planet, Lord is the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. So Lord Shiva is saying that Lord agreed to be doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj, not because of Bali Maharaj's devotion, because of Prahlad Maharaj's devotion. Because Bali Maharaj is grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. And then he gives another example. Because Bali Maharaj, when he met, he was also devotee. So he gives another example of Banasur. That Banasur was a outright demon, right? He was not a devotee at all. Huh? But he even fought with Krishna, right? But he says that even Krishna didn't kill Banasur because of this benediction, because of his connection with Prahlad Maharaj. Because Banasur was also like great grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So in this way, Lord Shiva is proving to Narad Muni that Prahlad Maharaj is the best of the devotees. He is greater than me, he is greater than you. And Lord Shiva is saying that, don't you remember, Narad, that when Narsingdev appeared, we all were there, we all offered prayers, but Lord Narsingdev was not pleased. Finally, who pleased him? It was Prahlad. So please go to him. And the Narad Muni, in great ecstasy, he goes to meet Prahlad Maharaj. Just see the joy of Narad Muni, because he was a spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. But he is going to meet his own disciple. So he wanted to worship Prahlad Maharaj, but of course Prahlad Maharaj would not allow that. So out of formality, Narad Muni accepted worship from Prahlad Maharaj. But in his heart, he was actually worshipping Prahlad Maharaj. He was full with appreciation for him. And then Narad Muni started glorifying his own disciple Prahlad, that you are the best of all devotees. And then when Prahlad Maharaj heard this, what did he say? He again was very embarrassed and said, please don't embarrass me. I am not a devotee at all. Lord didn't appear for me. He just appeared to kill demon Hiranyakashipu. He appeared because of prayers of demigods. I was not the reason for Lord's advent. Just, we all know that Lord appeared because of Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, no, Lord didn't come because of me. And then he says that I have only remembered the Lord. I have never done any active service for him. He just appeared for some time and he just gave me some benediction and went away. But look at Hanumanji. That he is a real devotee. For thousands of years he served Lord Ram. What he has done for Lord Ram, he jumped, of course he told many things, how he jumped over the ocean and so many services Hanumanji rendered to Lord Ramachandra. So the journey continues, then Narad Muni goes to Hanumanji, Hanumanji says, I am not the devotee. Then he sends to Yadavas, and then the Yadavas send him to Vrindavan, Gopis, so like that. So finally Narad Muni goes to the Gopis of Vrindavan. So in this way this story continues. But why I just shared this with you, just to even further enhance or to increase the appreciation for Prahlad Maharaj, that even Lord Shiva is glorifying Prahlad Maharaj. He is saying that he is a greater devotee than me. So in this way Prahlad Maharaj's position is very, very exalted, and a lot can be said on Prahlad Maharaj's mood and his prayers. We all have heard these prayers for so many days. And Srila Prabhupada also was very fond of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. He often quoted various verses from that, from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And specifically, Srila Prabhupada liked the mood of preaching of Prahlad Maharaj. That Prahlad Maharaj was not interested for his own liberation, but rather he wanted to liberate others. Right? One very famous verse which Prabhupada often quoted from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, 7943. Many times in Prabhupada's lectures we can hear this verse, 7943. I'll just read it out and then we'll end the class.
Naivod vijay paradurataya vaitaranyas tvadviryagayana mahamnitamagna chittaha soche tata vimukhacheta saindriyartha maya sukhaya bharam udvato vimudhan.
O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So this Prabhupada liked very much this mood of Prahlad Maharaj, and of course Srila Prabhupada is embodiment of the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that a devotee, exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, now he is never in difficulty, he is always happy, right? Because he is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna's glories. Tad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. His chitta, his mind is always absorbed in the pastimes, in the glories of the Lord. So he is not disturbed. So we may think that Prahlad Maharaj was put in difficulties, but for Prahlad Maharaj it was not a difficulty. He was always absorbed in Krishna. So it didn't matter to him what position he was in. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying here that my concern or my reason for unhappiness is only one. That is, looking at the condition of people in general who are making plans to be happy in this world. I am simply concerned with love for them. So this very same mood Srila Prabhupada has imbibed from Prahlad Maharaj, this preaching mood, that how we should also care for others, be concerned. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita we have Vasudev Datta, who is said to be incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. And what he prayed? He prayed to Mahaprabhu that I want to suffer the sinful reactions of all the living entities in this world, because I cannot see the suffering of all the living entities. Why do we suffer? Because of sinful reactions. So Vasudev Datta is praying to the Lord that I am ready to suffer, that please allow me to suffer for the sins of all the living entities, and please deliver them and please take them back to Godhead. And Prabhupada writes in that purport that this is the epitome of this, the feeling of helping others. Like Prabhupada says that people glorify Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, he just prayed for his own followers. That means he told that whoever comes to me, I will deliver them. Or he was ready to suffer their reactions. That's what the Christians say. But here, Vasudev Datta, he was praying not only for his followers, not only for all human beings, but he was praying for all living entities in all species of life. So this is the greatness you can see. So Mahaprabhu said that you are Prahlad. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's mood of supreme compassion for all living entities. So his desire was to bring everyone to the shelter of the Lord. And that is why Prahlad Maharaj accepted the position of being a king. And he is continuing even now, because he wants to preach others and take them also back to Godhead. So these are the wonderful some thoughts on Lord Narasingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions, comments, please? Yes, Prabhu. Anyway, I can hear.
But then often we see that sometimes we know we have material attachments, so we just don't do anything about it. We just focus on the spiritual life, chanting, and then we just hope that it will go away automatically. Can you explain a little bit more about what it means to maintain material attachments? Does it mean we have to be actively trying to get rid of those attachments, or like? If we're just focusing on the positives and we're not doing anything about our material attachments, is that also maintaining material attachments?
Okay. So, Prabhupada has a nice question. He's saying that the 10th offense against chanting of holy name is to maintain material attachments. So, his question is that, what should we do? That we just don't worry about the material attachment, just focus on the positive, just engage ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So, is that also being offensive, or what do we do about material attachments, right? That's the question. So, my understanding is that the material attachments will, the ultimate solution is only when we advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the only solution to give up material attachment. So the by offense, sometimes when we don't want to get rid of material attachment, that's an offense, I feel. But just like I told in the class, that our prayer to Krishna should be that I have material attachments now, but I want to get rid of those material attachments. In that mood, if you are chanting the holy name, that's not offensive. We may be still having material attachments, but we want to get rid of them. So that pleases Krishna. He sees that sincerity in our heart, that okay, this devotee has material attachments, but he wants to get rid of it. But if we don't want to get rid of material attachments, that's an offense, I feel. That means we're chanting the holy name, but inside our heart we have desire for wealth, for followers, for women, for more material comforts, luxury. So that's, that I think is offensive. Anyone else wants to comment on that? Say anything about this question? Yes? Yeah, Mata, that's a very nice comment by Mataji, that we can have this mood that everything is yours, even though we may have material things, family, wealth, but if you have the mood that everything is yours, so then also that helps us to get rid of the attachment. Yes. Thank you. So Prabhuji's question is that what is the harm? Like a child, if a child needs something, it's natural for him to approach his parents. So Krishna is our father, so what is the harm in asking him for material things, you know, whatever we need? So, well, as I said, it's not bad, but better than that is not to ask him for any material things, because a loving father will anyway give you, even without you asking, right? Suppose a child doesn't ask food from its mother, will the mother not give him food? No, the mother and father, they are more concerned about the child than the child is concerned about himself. If we just have this faith that I don't know what is good for me, rather Krishna knows better what is good for me. He knows the best. So he will anyway do what is needed for me. So I don't have to ask Krishna that do this for me. Like Prabhupada often said, that this prayer that God give us our daily bread, you know. It's a nice prayer. Prabhupada says it's better than the atheist, but Prabhupada never appreciated this prayer. So what is this, you know? A loving father and mother, a child never has to ask that, oh father, please give me today chapati. No, father, mother, their whole life and soul is the child. Similarly, a devotee doesn't ask Krishna for these things. He knows that Krishna will anyway fulfill. Krishna will provide whatever he needs. So that's a higher stage of devotional service. So anyway, in our stage, there's nothing wrong. If you have any difficulty, we need anything, we can always ask Krishna. But we should always ask in this mood that, well, I may be asking you something material, but eventually I want to be a pure devotee, you know, that simultaneously that feeling also should be there in our heart. Thank you. Okay, thank you all very much. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.